Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Cemetery Podcast. I am your host, Ken Negley, and I would like to let you know that this week we are going to be traveling to Louisville, Kentucky, Fort Wayne, Indiana. We're also going to head to Moundsville, West Virginia for an amazing Native American mound. We are going to be traveling to Dayton, Ohio to honor a Medal of Honor recipient, as well as traveling to Cincinnati, Ohio, my hometown, for this week's Travelogue adventure. All that and so much more on this week's edition of the Cemetery Podcast.
Be sure to check out the Cemetery Podcast website at thefuneralsource.org/cemetery-podcast.
Welcome to this edition of the Cemetery Podcast. As I said in the introduction, we have a lot of things we're going to do today. We're going to be heading to Cave Hill Cemetery in Louisville. We're going to be heading to an amazing Native American mound that I can't wait to get to. But some of the things that I want to say, first off, before I do anything, as always, I want to start off by thanking the cast and crew, the contributors to the show. I'd like to thank my friend Senior Bull. I'd like to thank my partner Charlotte Graves. I'd like to thank my friends Jenny Johnson with the Ordinary Extraordinary Podcast and Tracy Rylands with the Adventures in Cemetery Hopping. Also like to thank Osric Tentacles for all the music, even the song you're hearing right now behind me. Now I would like to jump right in and get to a couple of the emails that were before I do that, I did want to say hello. Speaking of Jenny Johnson, it made me think. I told you we were going to start doing some shout outs to the people who are listening to the podcast. So I want to say, in the U.S., I want to say hello to the people who listen to us in Colorado. The audience in Colorado has been growing every week. And on the other side of the world, I would like to say hello to the people who are listening in Finland. Yes, the audience in Finland is growing, so thank you. Thank you to all the people who are enjoying the show. As I've told you before, if you enjoy the show, share it with two friends. We'll do the old, they'll tell two friends, and they'll tell two friends, and so on, and so on, and so on. All right, see if we can do that. Anyway, I'm going to get to a couple of emails that came in this week. I got one from Tracy in Sevierville, Tennessee. This is hilarious to me, but her question is, in light of all the stories you've told us in the past few weeks, have you ever been arrested in a cemetery? The answer to that, quite simply, Tracy, is no. Have I came close? Yes. As a matter of fact, in your very state, I have a story about something that happened at Nashville at the Hermitage that I'm going to tell that story in coming weeks, where I was almost arrested. Anyway, that being said, the answer to your question is no, I have not been arrested in the cemetery. Okay, the next question comes in from Josh, who is in Birmingham, Alabama. Josh said, why do I find stones and pebbles on top of grave markers? Okay, well, obviously I can tell you, Josh, you are not Jewish. That is a symbol that you have visited the grave of someone who is somebody in a Jewish religion, somebody in your Jewish family. You visit them, you put a rock on top of the grave. As a matter of fact, I've been to some Jewish cemeteries where they actually have little stone pebble baskets and things of that nature, so that when you walk back towards the graves, you have stones available to you. You don't have to go digging around for them. So yeah, that's pretty simple. It's just a way to show that you have visited the grave of someone who is in a Jewish cemetery, or it's a Jewish member who is buried in a non-Jewish cemetery. Regardless, it's just a way to show that you were visiting their grave. That's simple. We have, I'm going to tell you guys, May is going to be coming up next week. You know, May is Cemetery Appreciation Month, and we have a thing on the NecroTourist where we did 31 ways to appreciate a cemetery, and we're going to dive into some of those things over the coming weeks, and I look forward to sharing them on the podcast here, as well as checking them out on our website. Speaking of websites, I did want to let you guys know I don't have the website. I don't know it off the top of my head. We literally just launched it yesterday, but it is a new WordPress website that we have that gives you more ways to listen to the podcast and gives you other ways to be in contact with us. As a matter of fact, we're going to have links for our t-shirts and a few of the other things. The website's like 90% up, but it's at least telling you what the episodes are, and it gives you links and ways to converse with us. And again, like I said, multiple ways to listen to the podcast. Additional links that we don't have on some of our other sources or even on our home server. So yeah, we're expanding each week of how you can listen to us. So, you know, if you have a preferred format of how to listen to a podcast, let us know. We do have our RSS feed, and that's available for you as well. I am trying out a new song during this segment right now. This is an old favorite to me. Again, for Mosrick Tentacles, this is a song called Audentity. Let me know what you think about it, if it's a good song to have me giving you news and information. Again, May is Cemetery Appreciation Month. We look forward to sharing news and information. And oh, by the beginning of May, hopefully, our new organization, Respect Our Cemeteries, will be officially launched. More about that to come in the future. Stick around. Lots of fun and information to be shared with you on this week's episode of the Cemetery Podcast.
If you would like to get your email answered, then be sure to send that to the Necrotourist at thefuneralsource.org.
I would like to invite you all to check out a friend of mine, Tracy Rylands, who does an amazing website called Adventures in Cemetery Hopping. She has visited around the country, dozens of states, and she writes extensive articles and does photography as well. Be sure again to check out her website at adventuresincemeteryhopping.com. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this week's feature cemetery is absolutely one of my favorite cemeteries. At this point, it is probably my most favorite cemetery. If not, it's definitively in my top two. I am talking about none other than Cave Hill in Louisville, Kentucky. The cemetery was established in 1848. It has approximately 297 acres and about 150,000 burials. It is the largest by space and burials in Louisville, and there is a lot of cemeteries in Louisville, that's for sure. It was designed by Edmund Francis Lee of Hartford, Connecticut, and one of the cool features is the Corinthian-style clock tower that includes a 2,000-pound bell. Also, right there by the entrance is the superintendent's residence that was designed by Montgomery Miggs. That was completed in 1892. Now, one of the cool features about the cemetery is the Beargrass Creek runs through the middle. It kind of divides the old and the new section. The old is on the west and the new is on the east. And those, it kind of splits the cemetery. And the creek originates from the spring that's in the cave. And that's actually where the cemetery gets its name. Now, the cave itself is about 30 feet deep and goes down to pretty much crawl spaces really rather quickly. And, sorry to tell you spelunking fans, but it is off limits to visitors. Not only is Cave Hill a cemetery, it's also an arboretum. There's over 500 varieties of plants and trees. As a matter of fact, they have 12 state championship trees. Another interesting thing is that they have a national cemetery inside. It's approximately 4.1 acres. They are some of the oldest burials in the cemetery, and it was actually added to the National Registry of Historic Places in 1998. Interesting thing is there is the 32nd Indiana Monument, the AKA known as the Blodner Monument. It is the oldest Civil War memorial in the United States. Now, actually, the one that's there is a replica, because the current one is on display elsewhere. Now, another thing that's interesting is Section O at Cave Hill is the Confederate Soldier Section. There is three CSA generals, and the Confederate flag flies right over. some of the amazing famous graves that are there. As a matter of fact, Cave Hill very much encourages necro travelers. They love necro tourists. You will see a variety of people that are super famous. Number one, George Rogers Clark, who's a Revolutionary War vet and one of the founders of Louisville. Obviously, one of their biggest home run hitting stars is none other than Muhammad Ali. As a matter of fact, it was amazing. The one time I was there, it was actually the anniversary of Ali's death. And they actually had a trail leading to Ali's grave that was little signs that were butterflies and bees. It was amazing. Now, also, another interesting group of people that are there is Patty and Mildred Hill, who are sisters. They are the two ladies who wrote the most famous song in the world that we all know and sing, Happy Birthday. Paul Hornung, Hall of Fame Heisman Trophy winner for the Green Bay Packers, is there. Mia Zapita, the lead singer of the punk band The Grits, she's buried there. Jenny Benedict, author of the Blue Ribbon Cookbook, she's there. Pete Browning, Major League Baseball player, actually the guy that the Louisville Slugger is named after. He is the Louisville Slugger. Paul Harlan Sanders, that's right. Colonel Sanders is actually buried there at Cave Hill. There's Harry Collins, who was the Frito-Lay magician. He's right there by Colonel Sanders, which is pretty cool. Then there's also, this continues. I mean, this list is ridiculous. There's Henry Clay, General Rogers Clark, Isaac Shelby, Nicola Marshall. He's actually the artist of, did the portraits of Napoleon, Otto Bismarck, and some of the CSA presidents, Jefferson Davis, and he also did Abraham Lincoln. And he actually designed the stars and bars of the Confederate flag there. There's also David Meriwether, surveyor, senator, and governor of New Mexico. There's also actor Edmund Ryan, who starred in one of my favorite movies of World War II, Tora, Tora, Tora. He was also on Dr. Kildare, Mod Squad, Bonanza. He did the work. Derek Smith, NBA player. He has an amazing grave with this, it is like a laser-etched grave of him, and it's as tall as he is. He's actually the guy that's credited with creating the high five. Yeah, you know, that high five. Then there's also Julian Pappy Van Winkle. He is a bourbon founder, you know, of the same name, you know, Van Winkle Bourbon. Then there is Wayne Oates, the psychologist who coined the phrase workaholic. Guess he was working hard at that, huh? Also, here you go. Here's my rundown of numbers. 31 congressmen, 24 Louisville mayors, plus one Indiana governor. Also, there is 17 Civil War officers, 5 senators, 5 judges, 7 baseball players, 10 authors, 3 composers, 2 presidential cabinet members, 2 jockeys, and 1 Supreme Court justice. And a partridge in a pear tree. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I have just told you about the famous graves, or the famous people, so to speak. Now I'm going to tell you about the famous graves, because this place is loaded with memorials that are just as famous as some of the people that actually are there. Okay, one of the monuments is the Caldwell Sisters. This is a huge monument you can't miss of the two sisters in their Grecian-style tunics and they're holding hands. It's an amazing one you can't miss. There is the Torque and Falk statue. It's a young man carrying a girl in his arms. This was from a couple that died in an auto accident. There's the Pfingst angel. This is a bronze angel holding a palm frond. There's a Jesus is my swing set. That's for Samantha Ann McDonald's grave. It's amazing. It's like a Jesus swinging a little girl. Then there's Brittany's Jesus, which is Brittany Bevan's gravesite, which is a group of children running up to an open-armed Jesus. There's right next to that, there's the Auerbach alien statue, which is two aliens sitting on top of a granite marker. Then there's like the dog statue that's right next to that one. there's also the McMillan statue of a boy riding two brothers, one riding on the shoulders of the other one. Then there's the Stefan statue. That's of a child with the roosters. That's an amazing thing. That's the grave of Captain Theodore Stefan. And his whole story is on the monument. It's like a book in of itself. There is the leaping Pegasus. They literally have a Pegasus with wings. This is the guy, Michael Lepping. He was the founder of Inside Outlet Furniture in Elkhart, Indiana. Then there's the angels with the swords of Hefner and Herman. This is life-size wing angels of a 16-year-old. And this is amazing, with a woman and a sword. These are life-size statues. There's the Twist family plot, that is, that contains a life-size statue of Saunders Twist, who was a model, and she actually, it was crafted by Barney Bright. You know, the Cave Hill Heritage Foundation has made the cemetery a welcoming presence for necro travelers. The website is extremely user-friendly. They offer several events each month. You know, you can check their website for what's going on. It's an amazing place, and you know, it was recognized by the National Registry in 1979. And I have to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I've been to Cave Hill multiple times. I live about 90 minutes away, and I try to make it a habit to go every year if I can. I go at least every other year. As a matter of fact, I plan to go here in the coming weeks. So if you are looking for literally one of the most amazing cemeteries that you ever see, that blends old with new, a place that it welcomes modern art as much as they enjoy old statuary. They love their history, no matter who you are and what you are. If you're famous, then you deserve respect, and that's the way they look at it at Cave Hill. And it's a place that you need to put at the top of your necro traveler's checklist. Hello, boys and girls. Today's cemetery symbol is the wreath. The wreath is documented as having been originally used in ancient Greece as a symbol of continuity. It was adopted into the Christian religion as a symbol of victory, of redemption. The ancient symbol is that of victory, memory, and that passed on to eternal life and protection. When a wreath is made of evergreens, it's the symbol of eternal strength, because evergreens survive harsh winters. Laurel wreaths can represent victory, distinction, eternity, or immortality, and usually are associated with someone who has attained distinction in the arts, literature, athletics, or the military. The ivy wreath is a symbol of gaiety and joviality. The wreath and festoon together symbolize memory. Hey, would you like your cemetery conservation done with respect and honor? Then contact our friends at Moscow Cemetery Monument Repair. With 23 years of practicing conservation, Robert Moscow is a third-generation historical mason. He also holds a master's degree in historical preservation and has conserved more than 89 cemeteries and worked on more than 8,000 gravestones and monuments. He does practice a do-no-harm method, and all of the work is documented and photographed. You can check them out at cemeteryrepair.com. Again, that's Moscow Cemetery Monument Repair. All right, ladies and gentlemen, today we are going to feature a Native American location that is one of my favorite places that I've ever visited. I actually encountered it in 2017 while I was traveling east on US 70 en route to Washington, D.C. I was going past Zanesville, Ohio, and right as soon as I crossed the West Virginia border, I saw the sign for Moundsville, which was only about 20 miles south. So I decided I needed to go. Glad I did. I arrived in Moundsville to find the Grave Creek Mound. And actually, the Grave Creek Mound archaeological complex surrounds the largest of the Edina burial mounds. And this thing is huge, ladies and gentlemen. It was constructed between 250 and 150 BC. And the Edina moved approximately 60 tons of dirt manually to create this mound over an approximately 100-year period of time. The Edina were credited with being the first group of mound builders in America. Their culture lasted from 1000 BC to approximately 1 AD. This is one of those things that, while traveling in 1803, Meriwether Lewis noted that this large mound was on his path while he went to meet Clark who was in Louisville. His September 10th entry includes a long, detailed description of this, quote, remarkable mound of earth. Now, this thing is huge, ladies and gentlemen. The first recorded excavation of this mound took place in 1838, and at that time, it measured 69 feet tall, 290 feet. At this current time, it is 62 feet high and 240 feet diameter. Now, it is believed originally that there was a moat that was about 40 feet wide, about 5 feet deep, that encircled the mound. And it was opened briefly as a museum by the original landowner back in 1838, but they closed that down in 1847. Now, believe it or not, in 1908, the mound had to be saved from demolition for development. The local women's group, the Wheeling Chapter of DAR, raised enough funds to acquire the options on the property. In 1909, the state of West Virginia purchased the site for preservation. Now, in 1978, the state opened the Delft Narona Museum, which is located at the site. It contains exhibits that interprets the culture of the Adena people and theories about how the mound was created and such. Now, in 2010, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers gave them nearly 450,000 artifacts to the museum so that they could store them for archival purposes. These were recovered in archaeological excavations that took place at the site of Marmot Lock and represent about 10,000 years of indigenous inhabitation in that area. So, important stuff, that location. It was actually added to the National Registry of Historic Places in October of 1966. It became a National Historic Landmark in July of 1964. And ladies and gentlemen, one of the coolest things if you go to visit is the admission is free. It's open every Tuesday through Saturday. And access closes to the mound and the museum at 4:30 p.m. Now, I have to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, as always, when I visited this, for those that know me, I have rituals that are involving Native American mounds, and I could not wait to get to now what was going to be the second largest mound that I had been able to visit and be on top of. Previously, I had been to the Miamisburg Mound, and here I was at Grave Creek. It was a wonderful experience. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, there's several other mounds in the area. That's why it's called Moundsville. If you are into Native American history, archaeology, as well as mounds and things of that nature, then Grave Creek Mound in Moundsville, West Virginia, in Marshall County, is someplace that definitely needs to be added to your Necro Traveler's checklist.
Be sure to visit the Cemetery Podcast Facebook page at facebook.com/cemetery-podcast.
You know, some of our friends have been working hard to bring awareness to our favorite subject, the gals in the graveyard. They're a duo of lady conservationists who enjoy a little bit of gallows humor. So be sure to join their journey, like and subscribe by going to their website at galsinthegraveyard.com. Gals in the Graveyard, giving life to death. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the feature grave of today is for a man who was born September 26, 1774 in Massachusetts. He is an American folk legend. Some people know him by his given name, John Chapman. Most people know him by his notorious name, which is Johnny Appleseed. Now, ladies and gentlemen, Johnny Appleseed essentially was a horticulturalist who specialized in apple trees. You know, as the westward expansion happened, I don't know if you're aware of this, but there used to be a law in the United States that when you bought a piece of property, you needed to plant 50 apple trees within the first year. So Johnny owned numerous plots throughout Ohio and Indiana, and he was actually known for planting orchards throughout the Midwest as well as Ontario, Canada. Now, one thing that he did was he often helped homesteaders start their own orchards, and he would especially like to do that for people that were in the area where he had property, because he would help them with their trees, and in turn, they would watch his orchards while he was away. Because he was known for traveling extensively, barefoot, carrying only a knapsack and his Bible. Some say he wore a pot on his head. I don't know. I think that's cartoons. But I do know that he was a zealous minister, and he enjoyed preaching to anybody who would actually listen. Now, an interesting thing about him, in some of the areas of Ohio, there's even markers that simulate this. Up around Sunbury, Ohio, I've seen them, that during the War of 1812, he traveled upper Ohio and Indiana warning settlers about Indian attacks as well as movements that were going on with the British. And he really spent the better part of like 50 years just roaming around the Midwest. Now in 1845, while checking in on one of his orchards near Fort Wayne, he contracted pneumonia and he died at the cabin of William Worth. He actually died on March 18, 1845. Now, Worth buried him on a hill next to the St. Joseph River in what is the Archer family burying grounds. As his burial location has been disputed over the years, most recently by the developers of the Canterbury Green Apartments, and they were making this claim that there was a rock marking where the Worth cabin was located, and that was actually his burial location. However, most people agree that the Archer Cemetery was his actual final resting place. And one of the reasons is because in 1916, Indiana had a centennial celebration, and the Horticultural Society erected a wrought iron fence around Chapman's burial location. Now, there were people in attendance who were actually had firsthand knowledge of when Chapman died, and they indicated that the Archer Cemetery was his final resting place. And there was actually a Worth family, they had notations that said John was respectably buried in the hallowed ground, which was the Archer Burying Grounds. Now, the burying grounds itself is located at the top of the hill with a fence around it with a nice rock marker. It's a cool place. It's right there in the Johnny Appleseed Park in Fort Wayne, Indiana, Allen County, right there by the St. Joseph River. Beautiful place to go. And I have to tell you, you know, it's something that you need to add to your Necro Travelers visiting list. Aside from the other things to see in Fort Wayne, you certainly need to see his location. And a good time you might want to go is the first full weekend in September every year is the Johnny Appleseed Festival. Kill two birds with one stone and then head to some other great cemetery treasures in the Fort Wayne area. But don't miss the burial location of Johnny Appleseed.
Here is the Necro Tourist with another Medal of Honor moment.
Today we honor Medal of Honor recipient Charles Goodwill Bickham. Bickham was born August 12, 1867. He graduated from Princeton University in 1890 and joined the Ohio National Guard. He served as a colonel on the staff of Ohio Governor William McKinley. And during the Spanish-American War, he served as a corporal in Company G, 3rd Regiment, Ohio National Guard, and then as a captain in the 9th Regiment in the U.S. Volunteer Infantry. He served as a captain during the Philippine-American War in the 28th Regiment, U.S. Volunteer Infantry Unit under Colonel William E. Berkheimer. After receiving his commission in the regular army as a lieutenant, he served again in the Philippines in the 27th U.S. Infantry under Captain John Pershing. And for action on May 2, 1902, in the Battle of Bayong during the Moro Rebellion, his citation states, quote, crossed a fire-swept field in close range of the enemy and brought a wounded soldier to a place of shelter, end quote. His medal was awarded by Teddy Roosevelt on April 28, 1904. He was honorably discharged in 1910. He never married and died in Dayton, Ohio, on December 14, 1944. He is buried in the Woodland Cemetery in Dayton, Ohio.
Be sure to visit the Cemetery Podcast Facebook page at facebook.com/cemetery-podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Necrotourist Travelogue portion of the show. This is when I tell you a story about an adventure or something that we've done. And right now I'm not going to particularly talk about a particular adventure as I am going to talk about a couple adventures at a particular place. I know you probably get tired of me saying it, but my home base is in Cincinnati, Ohio. And one of the northern edges of town is a neighborhood called Glendale, a moderate affluent community, and they have a very nice cemetery out there called Oak Hill. Now, in recent years, the cemetery has been purchased by Spring Grove, which many of you know is our large Garden Park cemetery in Cincinnati, and they, you know, loosely call this place Spring Grove North. But one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this place is because when they've been a very accommodating and interesting place to me. Really, one of the first times I ever went there was in 2014. Now, this was actually prior to us doing the Necro Tourist. We actually had a family member who passed away in April of 2014, and we were there for his funeral. And it was a very cold April day. It was snowing. I'll never forget this. More snow than I would prefer. And what made it worse is I had just recently shaved my hair, too. I only had about a quarter inch of hair, which was ridiculous. Because I thought, you know, it was spring. I could now shave my head and let it grow out over the summer. But nope, I had to pay the price of a nearly bald head. So anyway, when we got to the grave site and the services concluded, you know, many of you know I have the website, The Funeral Source. I asked the actual gravediggers, the guy from the local company, if they cared if I stuck around and watched while they actually put the box in. And, generally the workers don't really like when the families stick around, because when they have to put the vault in, you know, there's actually a little bit of work involved. And they were like, no, it's fine. And I told them, you know, I said, I'd like it if you guys let me shoot some photos. You know, I'll make sure I keep your faces out of the shots, and or I'll keep the company name out of the shots, and so on and so forth. And they were like, that's fine. So they did that for me, which was very cool. It kind of gave us a perspective that we hadn't been able to capture on the Funeral Source for a while. You know, actual photos of what was going on, of the actual procedure of putting the casket inside the vault and lowering the vault in and starting to close up the grave. Really, after that, we started wandering around the cemetery a little bit, and it was pretty interesting. They had like a lake in the middle, and we were wandering around checking out some of the graves. They have some newer section with some laser etched graves, and they also have some statuary. Really nice grounds. It's really, really nice Garden Park setting. That was one of the first times I had ever shot photos there. Now, we had went back to this place again a couple years later, because it was when we were getting to chase down famous graves, and it was after the Necro Tourist was underway. And we found out there was a few famous people there. A few Cincinnati Reds were there. There is also Kevin Crayon, who was a Cincinnati police officer who horribly was dragged to his death by a fleeing assailant. And he is buried there. We found a few other people. And later on, we also discovered that Cincinnati firefighter Daryl Gordon is buried there. He is a firefighter that was killed in the line of duty. Literally, he walked into an open elevator shaft in the middle of a fire because the elevator doors were not closed. It was a tragedy. Actually changed some of the standards that goes on for Cincinnati firefighting. But anyway, he is located there. But one of the most interesting things we found was Peg Entwistle. And Peg Entwistle was an actress who lived in Hollywood at the time. And she is a strange connection. She was actually Brian Keith of Family Affairs fame. It was actually his dad's wife, and he had cheated on her. And she has this crazy story about how she committed suicide by jumping off the H of the Hollywood sign. Yes, you may have heard that legend, that story. Peg Entwistle is the person who jumped off the H of the Hollywood sign. So that's interesting to know. Her family is from Cincinnati, and after that happened, her father insisted that she come back to Cincinnati and be buried there. So she's buried with the family. And that was interesting. Now, another national story that took place just a couple of years ago. A friend of mine, a local tour guide, Roy Heiser, he and I were going out there to visit because we heard that the national news story about Otto Wambier, you know, the guy that was in North Korea and it was, you know, tortured basically and killed because he tore a poster off the wall. He is actually a Cincinnati native, and turns out he's actually buried there, and he's right by that lake that I spoke of to you earlier. So the Oak Hill Cemetery, as I told you, I didn't necessarily have a particular story about it other than it's a place that if you're in the Cincinnati area, it's not huge. It's, you know, it's one, but it's one of those ones that's very pretty. It's picturesque. It has a lot of great trees that, you know, bloom, and it's a very well-planned garden cemetery. It's one of those ones, again, that if you're in the Cincinnati area, you definitely need to add it to your Necro Traveler's checklist. It's one that I highly recommend. It's only, 6-7 miles away from Spring Grove and or some of the other bigger cemeteries in the tri-state. So, again, this isn't a story as much as it is a recommendation of some of the interesting things that you can find in the cemeteries that you don't think would have the most interesting people, but sometimes they have stories and people who have impacted the world.
Be sure to check out the Necro Tourist at all of your favorite social media outlets: Facebook, YouTube, Reddit, Twitter. You think of it, we're there.
All right. Thank you very much. I would like to thank everyone for joining me for this week's show. Thank you to my partner and producer, Charlotte Graves. Thank you to Osric Tentacles for all the music for the show. Thank you to B Sour Music for the theme song. I want to thank you all for joining me. Thank you for participating, sending your emails. We're going to be back with another show next week. And I really enjoy this. I hope you do too. So again, thank you. This is Ken Nagley on behalf of the Necro Tourist and the Cemetery Podcast. Until the next time you hear my voice, I'll see you in the yard.